the Ozarks back on the farm.
Well, come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this and that and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions. And generally speaking, to brighten up this Saturday for you. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning, Fred Lynn. How are you, Fred? All right? Always fine. You know, Fred, perhaps you see his picture in the paper. He's the minister of the gospel over at that lovely little church on Robertson Avenue. I'm going to get myself a little Victory Baptist, isn't it? I'm going to get myself over there. I want to hear him. And good morning, friends, and how are you all this fine morning? Maybe spring has really sprung, as the fellow says, after all. You know, we used to have so many weather signs, but I've just about forgotten a lot of them. They used to say you could count the thunderclaps in February, and there would be as many frosts in April as there were thunderclaps in February. I don't suppose anybody ever counted them, and I don't hear anything about thunderclaps much in February. Some way I don't believe that one, but that's an old, old one. At least not in this section of the country. Someday I'll have to tell you a lot of the old rain signs I've gathered up from all over this Ozark country. I know you all have a lot of them yourself. It's going to rain if rabbits play out in the road, or if the dogs eat grass, and if cats sneeze, and if they wash behind their ears, it's going to rain. And wolves always howl before sunset if it's going to rain in the night or even the next day. And if a hog penned up carries leaves in his mouth to make a bed, they say it's going to rain, but I think that one applies mostly to cold weather, that coming on within 12 hours. That's the way they used to say when I was a kid. It's going to be cold weather. See the hogs carrying leaves. They do it. That one never fails. They used to say don't ever kill a toad, for it would make your cows give bloody milk. Isn't that a strange superstition? And before a cold spell, fire coals always pop out of the fireplace. That's a real one. Oh, there's a million. Sometime I'll get together a lot more of them. Tell them to you. I want to say happy anniversary to Mr. and Mrs. Malvin Whetson of Route 4, Ava, who had their 65th wedding anniversary one day this week. You know, I had to quit giving wedding anniversaries here 2 or 3 years ago because I got so many, took my whole program. But then, anyway, you know, people who've been married 65 years, they deserve it. That's a long time. And it's a great pilgrimage. And I love and admire people who have loved each other that long and stayed by each other's side. And we have many of them in our Ozarks. Here stands two boys who stayed with their wives, Fred Lynn and Henry McCann. Got lovely wives, too. Mr. Thomas Babb on South Jefferson wants me to thank all the good, kind people who wrote to me and told me about the game of fox and geese that he'd forgotten about and how to play it and wanted to revive the old game. People are so kind. Several of them drew him a regular fox and geese board on paper so he wouldn't miss it. I turned all my letters over to Mr. Babb's. He was so impressed by the kindness of it all. He said that was the greatest part of the whole thing. People are kind. When I ask about anything, they just respond to it. Those I recall who wrote me were Mr. E.D. Gallion on Kearney of this city, and a lady who called up, but I was not there, and the girlie who lives with me. I've got an awful sweet girl living with me going to business school. Her name's Betty Pearson. She's pretty, and she's 19. Now, boys, look out. Well, she didn't get the name. She got her number, and I turned the number over to Mr. Babb, and he talked to her, I think. Then Mrs. Vern E. Carter, West Plains, wrote about the game, and Glenn Stagel of Morrisville, and Laura Irby Fisher Clear from Grove, Oklahoma, and Mrs. Hazel Lemley at Dunnigan, and Miss Ellen McElwain on Clifton here in Springfield wrote also, and she told me she had a fox and geese board that is as old as the hills. She said they'd been playing the game this winter to pass these cloudy days. Also that she had pieced and made a lot of quilts this winter. The lovely old art of quilt making goes right on in America, and it carries with it such a hominess and peace and contentment and tradition and old memories. Many young teenage girls now have taken up the art, which is several hundred years old, and they make beautiful quilts. They're mighty far and few between, or few and far between, rather. But there are few girls who make quilts. I love quilts, and I never had more than three at a time in my life. My land, I never had enough quilts. I love them. I envy women with quilts. I'm always too busy to make quilts. Anyone who types until 3 a.m. and writes letters like me has no time for quilts. And I'm always about 200 letters behind, even at that. You know, I don't make enough money to hire a secretary. Just being on radio once a week, the pay is very small. And I don't believe I would like to sit and dictate cold letters to a secretary anyway if I had one. When I was on KWK St. Louis, I remember my manager used to often say over the air that one thing, if you get a letter from May, it's from May and not a cold, stilted freeze-out written by some stuffy secretary. And that's a fact. Well, talk about reading astonishing things. You know, I want to ask you about this. I read this. I've got it there at home, clipped out in a little magazine. I forget just exactly what the magazine is, but I don't believe this is true. It knocks you down. It said cigarette smoking in America, that is reported from Washington, D.C., will reach a high of $500 billion for the year 1962. Now, I think it must have meant 500 billion cigarettes. I wonder if that isn't a mistake. If it said 500 million, I would have fallen over. But it said 500 billion, plain as day. I had a notion to write to the magazine and ask them if it was a mistake. And here's the payoff. It's worse than that. It said that 69% of all of it is smoked by women. And one paper I read said 73% of all tobacco consumed in smoking is done by women. They have more time for it. And women are awful when they start on anything anyway. Emotional, and they run everything in the ground. It said there were more chain smokers among women than men. Some way that seems impossible. Women have more time, this article that I read said. Men are jobs where they can't smoke during the day, so many of them. Well, you know, let me tell you something. A woman in St. Louis, and she's a nice little woman, too, she told me one time that if she couldn't get a cigarette, she'd kill a man for one, if that was the only way to get it. Yes, she did, Fred. She certainly said that, and she meant it. Wouldn't you hate to let something get a hold of you like that? But she was a person who never laid a cigarette down unless she was eating or sleeping. She's smoking one. That's the truth, eating or sleeping. $500 billion would buy a small piece of land for every man in the United States who wanted it and send every girl or boy to college and pay their way. So I that seems big to me. Fan me. I can't grasp it. Well, Hazel Limley at Dunnigan, Missouri, sent me the cutest thing I've seen in a long time, and I'm going to read it right here. If my breath holds out, you'll like it. It's a whiz. The title is Up to Date. You men ought to listen to it. You think women don't do anything. It's about the farmer's wife. It said the farmer's wife has no excuse for not being cultured and up to date. All she has to do is cook the meals and wash the dishes and mop the floor and scrub the steps and wash the clothes and mend them and darn the socks and milk the cows and churn the butter and feed the chickens and bathe the children and can the fruit and cut the children's hair and chase the cat out of the milk house and polish the silver and black the stove and straighten the shades and settle the children's fusses and shoo the hens off of the porch and wipe up the mud that Father and the boys track in and bake the bread and make the cake and chase the pigs out of the garden, answer the telephone and sift the ants out of the sugar and air the feather beds and heat the water for Father to wash his feet and watch out for bed bugs and get the man up in the morning and gather the eggs and set the hens and keep the neighbor's baby while she goes to town and get the children off to school and spray the fruit trees and gather the berries and trim the lamps and swat the flies and empty the ashes and slop the pigs and peel the peaches and rake the lawn and feed the pet lambs and string the beans to cook and fill the lantern and sort the apples and find the men's shirts and carry the wood and pick the geese and answer the door and tell the men what they did with the axe the last time they used it and write a letter to mother. Then in the afternoon, she can go to the missionary meeting and work her head off for the heathen. Oh, that's a good one. I think that's cute. I'm glad you sent it to me. Well, it got me. Every word is as true as gospel, only that this was undoubtedly written quite a while ago, because so many women now have electric lights on the farms and electric stoves, and a lot of that they don't really have to do. But don't you worry, there are a world of them who don't have those things and who still split their own stove wood to cook with and wash with a washboard and have to do things the old-fashioned way. I remember the women used to say, well, I have to bust up a little wood for dinner. A woman, go out and split her own wood, get dinner. Now, I want to say just a word to you, which I was asked to do by a very good friend of mine, Mrs. Carl Wyman, on Rural Route Springfield. I'm sure a lot of you know Eula. She used to sing and play her guitar so beautifully in meetings, religious songs. She's a grand person. She's publicity woman for the Parents Association of Missouri, which is an association for the betterment of the patients at the school for the mentally retarded at Marshall. You know that school up there where the little mental retarded children and epileptic and so on. And her mother works faithfully at it too, also with her, also her husband Carl. You all know about this great institution and the enormous amount of money it takes to keep it. There are 2,300 there, mostly children, retarded in mind or body, but there's also many, good many grown-ups, because a lot of them go there and they grow up, and then there are some grown-ups who are sent there. Eula says there are 950 of these children whose parents have just dumped them and never come to see them, never write them one line or send them one thing on this earth. You know, we have some parents that are, oh well, I won't go into that, take me too long. These children want love, Eula says they call her mom and hug her pitifully. Also, the young boys love Eula and call her mom, and they love all of the people of this Parents Association who go there to visit. June the 17th is a big day and a barbecue, and I hope to go. I'm going to do my best. Go with the Wymans. Ms. Wyman says that any of you are welcome at any time to look over this huge home and school, and it is our duty to go and see these places. Well, now, what I want to tell you is this. They're trying to get a bus for the school. That is, the Parents Association is going to get it and give it to them. They have one bus, but they need another one so badly. And they're going to get it with donations of trading stamps. It has been done. It can be done again over the country. Just any trading stamp, she says, that merchants give. Arrangements have already been made to swap any of them for cash. It will take a lot, but maybe over the state by faithful work and prayer. And these women and men are all praying people. Maybe they can make it. Mrs. Wyman wants me to ask if any of you will save your trading stamps and give to this school for these unfortunate children. They need this bus badly. And I'm going to have the faith that they'll get it. She said, send your stamps to me or leave them at the station here for me and she'll come and get them. I do wish a lot of you would do this, even if only a few. Every stamp counts. It would be a wonderful thing. Well, I must close right this minute. But I'll say something to jog your mind now and then about this, about these stamps, and don't forget it. Any kind of trading stamps. Goodbye, and I'll see you next Saturday. The Lord willing, the creek don't rise, and the devil ain't doing the city.